WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government shutdown now entering week number four. Among the latest casualties, about 1,400 employees at the National Nuclear Security Administration, the folks who oversee nuclear safety across the country. Energy Secretary Chris Wright saying,
"It is our national security. These are jobs of great gravity. We need to maintain our nuclear stockpile, have our adversaries confident that we have our stuff together. We have it secure and ready to deploy at a moment's notice."
He insists the furloughs are not a threat to national security. Vice President J.D. Vance and his wife are in Israel trying to shore up the shaky ceasefire in Gaza. The construction has begun on the White House ballroom, an entire side of the East Wing demolished to make way for President Trump's 90,000-square-foot space. The Louvre shut down again today, but it's always closed on Tuesdays. Detectives continuing to search for the thieves who made off with France's crown jewels. This is ABC News.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development is warning residents that its job support programs aren't receiving any federal funding during the ongoing government shutdown. According to the agency officials, about 75% of their budget comes from federal sources. They're using carryover federal dollars and some state funding to keep their programs running for now, but without additional federal funding, some workforce initiatives could shut down. Officials are also expressing concerns about agricultural workers obtaining visas for next year. 57-year-old Todd Grimm of Menasha is facing both state and federal child pornography charges. Last week, he pleaded guilty to one of three federal charges of receiving child porn. He was also charged in May with five counts of possessing child pornography in Winnebago County. In August, he was charged with two counts each of first-degree child sexual assault, incest, and child enticement in Waupaca County. Grimm is scheduled to appear at a conferencing hearing in Waupaca County on November 12th for sentencing in federal court on January 29th and a plea and sentencing hearing in Winnebago County on February 9th. 28-year-old Eric Metzig was sentenced last week to two consecutive life terms without the possibility of parole for the murders of his parents, David and Jan Metzig, in their Wolf River home in 2023. Metzig pleaded no contest to two counts of first-degree intentional homicide for the shooting of his parents in their bed. Speaking in court Friday, Matt Metzig, Eric's brother, said Eric has never shown any remorse for killing their parents. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
Will Fickell be fired? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football. The Badgers face number 6 ranked Oregon Saturday night. Wisconsin has never beat a ranked team since Luke Fickell took over as head coach 3 years ago. They're 0-9. Fickell says he can't be concerned about his future at Wisconsin.
It's not going to change the fact that we got to practice tomorrow. It's not going to change the fact of anything on Saturday. But I have not been told. I'm not worried about that. I mean, I understand, you know, if we don't meet expectations and we don't do the things we need to do, anything can happen.
Athletic director Chris McIntosh releasing a statement in support of the coach. College hoops. Former Marquette star Cam Jones arrested and jailed for leading police in Indianapolis on a brief chase on I-65 yesterday. Jones, drafted by the Pacers this summer, said he was late for practice. He was clocked at 90 miles an hour. In Milwaukee, the Bucks kick off the NBA season tomorrow night against the Washington Wizards. They're planning a welcome back tribute to Chris Middleton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A mix of clouds and sun today, blustery and colder, with scattered light showers developing in the afternoon. High temps only near 50. For tonight, scattered light showers to continue, still breezy, low temperatures in the mid-40s. Right now, it's 42.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Matt Nair on Air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on Air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Yes, Pat Kreitlow will be joining us after 9:30. I hope you can join us too.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 7:06, and it's nice to have you back here up north on a Tuesday morning, October 21st, 2025. Parker Olson is producing things down in Madison Studio A2, and in just a few minutes, we will be hearing from State Representative Francesca Hong, a candidate for governor. Fran was passing through the Chippewa Valley on Sunday, and so I got a chance to interview her and take a look at the crowd that had joined her to learn more about her running for governor, what it is that she thinks sets her out from the rest of the field. So I'll be listening for that in just a couple of minutes. Then later this hour at 7:35, Steve Bowe from the group Farm to Power, a group touting the growth of wind and solar power all across rural Wisconsin. And so let me set that up by teasing you with this little factoid. How much capital investment has already been made in wind, solar, and battery power capture across Wisconsin? Is it $100 million? Is it $500 million? Is it $5 billion? How much capital investment has already been made across Wisconsin in wind, solar, and battery power capture? We will talk to Steve Bowe about that later this hour. We'll also be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area coming up at 8:35. And he, too, will be talking about the Wisconsin race for governor. Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 is on the way as well. And you can join us, too, at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use that Civic Media app to call us or text us or to send us a voice note. Let's see. We've got from Robin Tigerton. He says, good morning. It is partly cloudy, 39 degrees in Tigerton. And also picked up a quarter inch of rain overnight and said the fall colors are just past peak, basically, throughout Shawano County. He writes, tonight, with the start of the NBA season, NBC returns to the NBA for the first time since the 2002 NBA Finals, and that means hearing Round Ball Rock. That must be the John Tesh-composed theme that would go the NBA on NBC, which I was anchoring back in 2002 when NBC still had the NBA, and there were a lot of newscasts. We had to wait and wait and wait for, you know, oh, triple overtime right now. Oh, great. Can't wait to do the news right after this thrilling contest between Cleveland and the Bland. There.
Yeah.
The NBA on NBC. Thank you, Marv. Let's see, Tigerton moving up because they started building a Dollar General, hoping to be opened in the spring of 2026. Well, there you go. Times are a-changing there in Tigerton. Oh, and Tony fills me in. I was blanking at the very end there. The heist movie with Pierce Brosnan and Rene Russo was the Thomas Crown Affair, which actually is a remake. That was 1999, a remake of a 1968 film that starred Steve McQueen and Faye Dunaway. So if you need a good heist movie, there you go. Thomas Crown Affair, one or both versions. compare, get back to me. And then we'll cast who's going to do the next remake of it, because that's how this works, right?
We just keep
making the same movies.
They're recycling over, so much.
Over and over again. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, let's hear now more from State Representative Francesca Hong of Madison. Fran Hong is one of about a half a dozen Democratic candidates for governor, hoping to succeed Tony Evers next year. And like the other candidates, she is spending a lot of time on the road. I mean, it's not like the Republican leadership in the legislature is doing anything to keep her busy. They do love their paid vacations. But anyway, on Sunday, Fran was in Eau Claire in the busy meeting room of a local coffee house, where folks wanted to hear more from someone who they see as part of a new generation of progressives who are less willing to play the go along to get along game. They want action on big issues, which means not being afraid to say some bold things about what a functional government should be doing for all the people, not just those with connections or money. And after her remarks to the crowd, she sat down with me for about 5 minutes, where we started with the reaction she's getting to her campaign so far.
It is so rad. I mean, it's been a whirlwind. I was very overwhelmed, kind of still am, but to see and feel the community support has kept me level, has kept me grounded.
Why do you feel it takes a movement, and how is that the answer to, you know, division?
We have so many folks who are disengaging, are overwhelmed with the state of the world. It is hard to literally exist right now. But when you don't feel as isolated, when you feel like you're a part of something and you want to make a difference, you join a movement. And it might take folks different times, and they might not be sure exactly how they can contribute, but reminding folks that this work is going to take a movement and they can participate in however way they want is going to get folks more engaged, want to be in the fight, and make sure that we have a state and the communities that are supporting one another.
What was the positive impact of yesterday's rallies across the country?
People feel like they're less alone. I met a lot of folks who this was their first rally. And so it means that people who weren't as engaged or weren't quite like just interested in what was going on with politics, and they're coming out and they're trying to figure out what they can do, and they care. Lake Mills, there was an amazing EMS worker. She said this was her first rally. It turns out she kind of like was trying to pay attention to make sure that folks were being safe, but got really emotional when we talked about how a lot of folks feel like they were robbed. And they're in a system that robs folks of their compassion, of their empathy, and their way of, you know, believing that we need each other, we have to care for one another, and that we deserve a state that's going to fight to unrig a system that works against working class people.
You had a good turnout for a Sunday morning here. How do you tell them what's your lane? There's a lot of different gubernatorial candidates out there. What's the lane you occupy?
They're calling me the wild card. And I think if you think about the own Uno wild card, it kind of helps steer the game differently. And sometimes you have more winners, I think. My lane in this race is to be, you know, relentless in bold policies, that we build a coalition of folks who are independents, maybe further left, centrists, moderates, even a couple of Republicans who are curious about this campaign of a working class candidate fighting for working class people. The energy, the, you know, social media presence. I've got folks coming in just because they saw me on TikTok and they're curious. And we need more campaigns that draw in curiosity, creativity, and folks of all different backgrounds to build a coalition for a movement.
I'm not trying to put a divide in Democratic voters. People already know it's out there. The people who are thinking that too much of the party, the establishment party, is too quick to be conciliatory, if you will, and that they're looking for something different. You feel like you're giving that something different.
People are ready for change. They want to take on the establishment, you know, the policies that have gotten us here, the complacency. the lack of imagination. And so I want to counter all of that, but most importantly, I want to make sure that we're bringing folks along in the process. And I think the more people we have engaging in politics, changing the conversation around who deserves power, who does that power serve, and getting folks, you know, involved, like that's going to go beyond 2026 election. We need folks to stay engaged, to stay fighting, and know that they deserve a better world.
I asked this of Senator Kelderoys last week when she was on the show, that this is going to be a campaign of primaries here in the 3rd Congressional District, for the governor's race, of course, and for others, legislative seats included. And what does it mean for you as a candidate to know that in all these different races, you're asking voters to do a little extra work, a little work that's a little earlier, you know, look at everybody and show up in August?
A lot of people, when I ask them, you know, not specifically on an issue, but what they're caring about, why they showed up to No Kings, is they want to save democracy. And primaries are democratic. It's a place for more debate and conversations. And I think that in order for us to make sure folks are staying engaged and getting a little bit more information about the candidates, we have to make sure to be creative and aggressive on some of the digital platforms, do things that engage folks, whether it's me juggling a soccer ball and having my kiddo in the background talking about the importance of small dollar donations, or doing more videos around policy, and going into spaces where politicians don't often go, and talking about the issues, whether it's a dive bar or a bowling alley, maybe a cranberry festival. We can't just do things for the photo ops and cutting the ribbons. We got to start talking to folks and centering them and talking about what they deserve and what's important to them.
Francesca Hong, candidate for governor. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Pat.
I got to talk with her on Sunday morning as she was passing through the Chippewa Valley, again, on the road to hither and yon, and every other corner of Wisconsin there as part of her campaign. And I wanted to emphasize again, one of the points there is about primaries. Obviously, there will be a primary for both Democrats and Republicans for the governor's race, and between, again, the legislative races, the congressional races, and more. For all this focus on November, and yes, it is going to be important for people to vote in November of 2026, but it's that August election that determines who's going to be on the ballot come November in a lot of these races. And so that's August 11th of next year, August 11th, a Tuesday in the middle of summer break for everybody. And, you know, it's not the heaviest lift. Obviously, we think that people, you know, should be voting in every election. But the August primary is still not one that's on everybody's radar. And so I just wanted to make sure that people are aware that we'll be talking about that August 11th date repeatedly and asking you to check out the candidates and then to do your part to learn more and help determine what is going to be on your ballot in November of next year. And again, my thanks to Fran Hong, and we'll be talking to other candidates for governor as they're able to come on the show or pass through our neck of the woods here. We'll talk to them and pass it all on to you. The Up North News Daily newsletter is put together by Ellie Bordeaux, and she's going to be joining us tomorrow. And you can sign up for the newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. In there today, she talks about getting past the false fall that's out there, that it is definitely cooling down now. And she's asking people to send in what the fall colors look like in your neck of the woods. And we'd love to get some of those photos up in the newsletter and maybe post them on social media as well. She's asking about people decorating for Halloween. I think we've all noticed a trend, whether it's weather related or just the availability of decorations. Halloween house decorating has, I'm not going to say it surpassed Christmas decorating, but I mean, just amazing, almost explosive growth in some communities where people are putting up the giant skeletons and getting more elaborate with things because they can, again, because it's, you know, not in the middle of December. So again, if you want to send some of the house decorating that you've seen or that you've done in your neighborhood, by all means, feel free to do that and send your note as well. Sign up again for the newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. Now, coming in along in 15 minutes here, we're going to tell you about, here's that number, $5 billion worth of capital investments in wind and solar and battery power capture all across Wisconsin. Steve Bowe will be our guest to discuss that just a little bit later on. And then Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area at 8:35. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
In America, one in eight women will face breast cancer, and 85% of breast cancer patients have a family history of breast cancer. Don't let the odds define you. Early detection is your best protection. Have a mammogram every year starting at age 40 if you're at average risk. While breast cancer is the most common malignancy worldwide, early screening saves lives. Knowledge is power. Take charge of your health. Get your yearly mammogram and stay ahead of the fight. This message brought to you by Wisconsin Spice, the premier manufacturer of mustard.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our estate's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, it's Brad Anthony with the Civic Media Network. We're here talking with Dr. Ryan Ames of Insight Eye Care, and he's here to give us some insight on the great things regarding eye care. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for having me, Brad.
Absolutely. Great to have you here. So Insight Eye Care has been deeply rooted in the Oshkosh and Appleton communities. Give us a brief history on your business.
Yeah, so we've been here a really long time. I'm a second-generation optometrist. My dad started practice in Oshkosh in 1972, and I joined his practice when I got out of school almost 18 years ago. And so we've been around Oshkosh for a very long time. And then a few years ago, we purchased a practice in Appleton, Dr. Linda Demick's office.
Okay.
She's also a second-generation optometrist. Her father started in the 50s.
Wow.
And so then she's was looking at an exit strategy, and I had interned at her office when I was a fourth-year student. So I knew her real well. I knew the clinic. And we brought that into the Insight family, and now we're there with some of our associates. All three main doctors now, we're all townies.
Very cool.
All from Oshkosh. Dr. Beers and I both went to Oshkosh North. She's a tad younger than I am.
Sure.
And Dr. Motz, he went to Oshkosh West. Yeah, so we're all from the area, deeply rooted for generations.
So people know you pretty well.
Yeah, it's fun coming back to practice in the town you grew up in. I always talk to my colleagues who practice in towns that they're not from, and I wonder, like, what's it like not knowing your patients from kindergarten?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, just today I saw one of my preschool teachers. And so it's fun to have that connection, and having all the doctors have that long-term stance in the community is very fun.
Absolutely. Well, your doctors provide routine eye care, but also unique services not found at other clinics. What makes Insight Eye Care different?
So we are a primary care clinic, meaning we do everything from pediatric eye care to disease management to contact lenses and glasses and the stuff you typically would think of in eye care.
Yeah.
But we also do a lot of specialty things. Dr. Hayden Motz, he does a lot of specialty contact lenses called scleral lenses. And scleral lenses are a very customized contact lens for patients with unique visual needs. So if somebody's had a corneal injury or, God forbid, LASIK gone wrong, or something that's causing the ocular surface just not to be its normal shape, we make custom lenses that restore vision.
Wow.
And it's amazing. We take people who, with a pair of glasses, their best vision's like 20/60, 20/70, they can barely drive.
Yeah.
And they've been like this for years, suffering, and we put...
It's got to be so difficult.
Oh, yeah, they're disabled almost.
Yeah.
And we put one of these lenses on them, and all of a sudden, instantly, their vision's 20/25.
Wow.
You know, 20/20. And it's super rewarding.
And they can clearly see the difference.
Absolutely.
For sure.
So we do that stuff. We do a type of specialty lens called an iPrint Pro. Dr. Motz and I are two of the three doctors in the entire state who even can fit them. There's only one other person in Milwaukee who does it at the university. And so we have people coming from hours away to have this done for them.
Sure.
So it's a huge need.
Well worth the trip.
Yeah. And it's not something everybody needs, but it's life-changing for those who do need it. It's incredible. So when we have those really unique cases, we have the expertise to do it. Dr. Beers, who's with us, she does a lot of pediatric care. She's done specialty training in binocular vision, which is basically making your eyes work together.
Yeah.
And lots of kids have these issues with tracking or reading problems. We also see this in brain injury patients. If someone has a concussion or a stroke or brain surgery, a lot of times they'll have issues walking and talking and doing all that stuff. And they're trained, we retrain them how to do all that, but we very rarely teach them how to see again. And people will come in after years of problems saying, I'm still dizzy, I can hardly walk. And we do some in-office testing and identify that, okay, the problem is your eyes aren't pointed in the same place. And they look normal,
right,
but they're not tracking properly. And so we can identify that and train how to make the eyes work together and the brain tell the eyes what to do. And again, life-changing.
Oh, absolutely.
Dr. Demick, who we bought the office in Appleton from, she has another clinic called ABC, and it's 100% devoted to vision therapy. And it's teaching the tracking issues for just kids who have trouble reading to rehab for stroke victims. So it's so much more than just, oh, here's some glasses, now you can see clearly.
Yeah, and you're on your way.
Yeah.
There you go. Hopefully it works out.
Right. Vision and seeing are different. You
yeah.
can see 20/20, but if your brain doesn't know how to process it properly, your vision is terrible.
Oh, exactly.
And so we have to make the brain and the eyes do the same thing. And so we go beyond just, oh, you just probably need new glasses. Go, okay, how's the entire visual system doing what it's supposed to do?
Exactly. You can't just Band-Aid it with some glasses and think, hey, the problems are going to be gone, and there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy hallelujah, and you're on your way. No. Yeah,
that'd be amazing.
Yes. I had that problem. I had lazy eye, and
yeah.
So I had to get surgery for it. And yeah, it's really one of those things where it is difficult, especially at night. I see double vision, like, you know,
right.
The partition in between the road, and it was horrible. I'm like, God, I hate this. The glasses are clear, but
right.
My eyes are not working together.
Exactly.
So I can empathize with that whole thing.
Yeah, I had that exact experience today with a patient. She started noticing when she's tired at night, she starts to see double, and she blinks a lot, she can bring it back.
Oh, gosh,
and,
it's terrible.
And she had what's called a decompensating phoria, where her eyes just started to drift out a little bit. And so her prescription didn't change, but she needed prism. Prism is moves the images.
Yes.
So her eyes like to point in just a little bit. I just took a prism lens, put it over one of her lenses, and her shoulders just dropped, and she went, oh, that's better.
Wow, I can see clearly.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, because your eyes aren't fighting all the time now.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's that simple stuff and going beyond, which is better one or two.
I had that problem for years, and I'll tell you, I have more prism in one lens than the other one.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for my eye doctor, and that was one of the cases for me.
Yeah.
For years, like, I could not see clearly. Like, my eyes were, like, straining work, and it was hard to deal with it.
Yeah, exactly.
So give us a little contact details, and then we're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back.
You can find all the information about us at WIInsight.com, and you can access both offices and send us messages.
We'll be back more in a bit, talking with Dr. Ryan Ames of Insight.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
WISS, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
There's a lot of conversation about the aging population involved in Wisconsin agriculture. So as you age and your body gets frail, how can you keep getting chores done? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. We're going to find out about one tool that does help farmers get the job done, even when their body starts failing them. That story next.
What makes Dairyland Seed silage unique? Better. Designed specifically to maximize tonnage potential in the upper Midwest, Dairyland Seed silage products contain higher starch content and the highest level of fiber digestibility for optimized milk production. And to help get even more milk in the tank, these elite genetics are supported by your dedicated local dealer and direct access to a team of leading agronomists and silage experts. Better silage, better support, better results. That's the Dairyland Seed difference. Meet our 2025 lineup at DairylandSeedSilage.com.
Obviously, not every surface in Wisconsin agriculture is flat and easy to maneuver. Monica Spaney knows all about it. She's president and co-founder of Accessibility Wisconsin, and her goal, trying to create wheelchairs that let farmers continue to do the things they love on the challenging terrain they do it with.
So the chairs can be used at family farms for a variety of things. Do their regular chores. They could broadcast seed. They could help pick weeds. The thing is because they can go over, you know, corn stalks and rocks, it helps them to still be able to participate with their family on the farm activities. They could even go into the hen house and pick out the eggs if they wanted to.
Monica Spaney, president and co-founder of Accessibility Wisconsin. The all-terrain wheelchairs they've been able to create not only help farmers continue to do the jobs they love, it also increases their independence, decreases depression, and generally lifts a big cloud from the entire family.
Farming has no set hours, no weekends off. The work can feel endless, but wrapping up that last acre makes it all worth it. At Rank Seed, we get it. We know the pain and joy of farming because our family's been doing it since 1846. Our seed will work as hard as you do. We think you'll crack a smile when the combine rolls. Rank Seed. Results since 1846.
Commodity groups and farm organizations reacting to President Trump's comments yesterday that he'd like to reduce beef prices to consumers by increasing beef imports from Argentina. Zippy Duval, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, said they're urging the administration to carefully consider the damage importing more beef and cattle from other countries and the impact it could have on cattle farmers here as they try to rebuild America's herds. That's Food News. I'm Pam Yonke. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to WISS, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A mix of clouds and sun today, blustery and colder with scattered light showers developing in the afternoon. High temps only near 50. For tonight, scattered light showers to continue, still breezy, low temperatures in the mid-40s. Right now, it's 42.
It's officially October, which means it's time to celebrate Halloween all month long. And if you're looking for some of the best Halloween events or all of the different trunk-or-treats that are around for the kids, don't you worry, I got you covered. From raves, trunk-or-treats, glow-in-the-parks, or Halloween parties, I will meticulously search just for you, so you don't have to stress. You can just have fun instead. Just go to WISS.FM and click events. You're welcome.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and podcast host Jimmy Pardo, then Mission 1 Billion co-founders Rex Sykes and Rocky Wagenhurst join the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Nice to have you back here on this Tuesday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Welcome to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News across the Civic Media Radio Network, 735 on this Tuesday morning, where normally we would be talking to Hans Breitenmoser. You'll recall that when we last spoke to him, he was getting set to do field work, all kinds of field work. The weather was perfect and there is work to be done. And he begged off for today. And we're like, absolutely. He helped arrange our upcoming guest here, Steve Bowe, to talk about green energy across rural Wisconsin. And we'll get to that in a minute. But I can't let this segment go without making mention again of what you might've just heard in the Midwest Farm Report, that President Donald Trump, who was already getting into some hot water with many farmers for starting a trade war with China, China went from buying $12 billion worth of soybeans to $0, which is impacting soybean farmers across Wisconsin. And China is now getting its soybeans from Argentina. That Trump yesterday said, as a way to fight food inflation and help with consumer prices, maybe we need to buy beef from Argentina. The headlines are full of farmers, beef farmers, and others here in the United States of America who are saying words that I cannot say on the radio. But in much the same way, last hour we talked about how Trump promised that the new ballroom would not damage the White House. And yesterday he brought in a demolition crew and they tore down the east facade of the White House. Well, similarly, there are a whole lot of farmers who are hearing Trump say, let's get our beef from Argentina, who are going, huh, imagine that. Also happening across rural Wisconsin is an ongoing wave of new jobs, a new bumper crop of jobs in new, greener, cleaner energies, wind, solar, battery power capture systems, and more. And one of the groups that is touting it, advocating for it all across Wisconsin is a group that Steve Bowe is joining us to represent right now called Farm to Power. Join them at farmtopower.org. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Happy to be here with you this morning.
Nice to see you here as well. It's been a while since we've talked, and now you're working with Farm to Power. Let's get right to what the group is, what it does, what it's advocating for. Tell us more about Farm to Power.
Yeah. So Farm to Power is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that works with farmers who are supportive, interested, or that actually have renewable energy on their land. And we work to support them and to elevate their voices in this renewable energy conversation. So a lot of times we'll try to connect a farmer who's maybe interested in it with another farmer who has gone through that process before. And then we also try to tell their stories of how incorporating renewable energy has had a positive impact on them, their family, their farm, and also their community.
Why do you feel like there is a need for a group of advocates like this on behalf of farmers when talking about clean energy?
So often the farmer story has been lost in this renewable energy story. And so what we aim to provide is that outlet for farmers to be able to talk about the impact that bringing renewable energy, and we mainly focused on utility scale wind and solar, what that's done for them. You know, a good number of the farmers that have gone through the process of going, you know, getting a contract either through solar or wind. They're not putting their entire farm into renewable energies. They're putting a segment of farm. And as we've talked about, you know, farmers have always had to ride the waves of up and downs in regards to commodity prices. Well, incorporating renewable energy is an outlet for farmers where they can rely on steady and consistent financial income that can help them ride those up and down waves of farm commodities.
What kind of potential are we talking about here? Because we mentioned before the break that on your website, it says that already there's been some $5 billion worth of capital investments made across Wisconsin, not necessarily all on farms, but what kind of potential are we talking about for Wisconsin farmers and rural landowners?
Well, when we look at what the potential is for a farmer, I mean, obviously there are stages in the process of renewable energy, everything from just a commitment to kind of reserve that land for leasing all the way up to when they're actually in production. And so those price points vary depending on what process you are in. But when it's in production, it's not unheard of to hear of contracts that are in that $1,000 to $1,500 range. And I can tell you there's not really a whole lot of commodities in which you are producing anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500 plus per acre on your land. And so, like I said, for a lot of farmers, they're not putting the entire farm into it, but they're putting a segment of their farm into renewable energy that allows them to sustain that farm for future generations.
We're talking to Steve Bowe from the group farmtopower.org, advocating for cleaner, greener energy generation across rural Wisconsin, including on our farms. And here's a point that I've made previously and want to get again out there, that while I am an unapologetic cheerleader for such things as wind and solar and other things that wean us off of fossil fuels, it must be said that, you know, somebody needs to be an advocate for the landowners, for the farmers, that just because you favor a particular type of energy does not mean that they would all treat every farmer or landowner the same. In other words, one company might come in and promise a farmer X, another company might come in and promise Y, and one of them is realistic and one of them is very not realistic. And a farmer or a landowner is wondering which end is up, because we're essentially in a brave new world here. So this is just my way of saying, Steve, that farmers and landowners shouldn't just necessarily, you know, sign on the dotted line the first time they're approached.
That first contract is a starting point, not an end point. Mm-hmm. And what we always try to advocate with farmers is to, for them to understand their negotiating power. Obviously, developers always going to try to get the max amount that they can for a contract. Well, you should be doing the same. So a lot of the questions that we talk with farmers about, what are your short-term, long-term needs of your farm and for that land? Do you need easement access to other land? We really try to have a conversation with farmers to see, are you interested in incorporating agriculture with these renewable energy projects, particularly with solar? Like, are you interested in grazing sheep? Are you interested in honeybees and apiaries? Are you interested in incorporating some aspect of agriculture with these projects? Because those are things that need to be negotiated within that contract. And agrivoltaics is something that has actually really blossomed, not only here in Wisconsin, but also with renewable energy and generally across the country.
Well, that gets me to the point of either misinformation or confusion that is out there. And so I want to have you tackle a few of those points with me. One of them is that, well, if you go with solar or something, you know, you're taking perfectly good functioning farmland out of circulation. And that's not necessarily the case, Steve.
Well, for a lot of instances, we're just shifting from one form of energy to another. Because what a lot of people don't realize and is farmers have been involved in renewable energy production for many, many years. We have got over 1 million acres of corn or that go to corn for ethanol. And so for a lot of times, you're just shifting one form of energy to another, whether it's corn ethanol or energy production.
And so you get that talking point about, you know, energy production and you know, versus land production.
But then you get, I certainly know every time that any particular group comes in, you see the signs go up saying no to solar or no to wind because, and I can also attest to this as a former legislator, you hear all kinds of things about what these wind turbines do. And I don't know, Steve, tell me more about wind turbine cancer or, you know, whatever the other arguments that are made out there.
Yeah. We definitely hear it all. Mm-hmm. And that's also part of what we try to do is to have those community conversations to really get some information, concrete facts out there about what are the real key pieces of information, not only in regards to some of the things we hear in regards to solar and wind, but then also in regards to talking about what it means for their local units of government and that utility aid that comes in both at the town level and the county level. It's a, you know, any project that's over 50 megawatts, it's $5,000 per megawatt that's divvied between the county and the town on a 60-40 split.
Well, that's another good point, is that not only do you have the farmers, the landowners out there, but you also have some of those folks serve on their town board or they serve on their county board. And again, they may think, well, we're there, you know, to talk about filling potholes on the roads and things. And then next thing you know, here comes this big, you know, proposal to do something in their township. And I'm sure, again, the Wisconsin Towns Association and the Wisconsin Counties Association, I've worked with them for years and years. They are very good people, but you probably can't have enough resources for people at the local level of government to learn more about the potential for these projects.
Well, and that's why when you get to projects that are over 100 megawatts, that's an automatic through the PSC. And so town and county governments, in essence, don't have major impact in regards to that because those bigger projects go through a state affiliated agency to really do the environmental impacts and the types of studies that local units of government don't necessarily have the financial resources to do.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Steve Bowe from Farm to Power. The website is farmtopower.org. Now, there are obviously all these investments being made, and there was so much that was in the Inflation Reduction Act to make a generational investment in green energy sources. And yet all we hear about now in 2025 is the number of projects that are being cut, slashed, federal money is being clawed back, et cetera. To what degree is that already happening versus there's been a lot of talk about it, but there are still resources to carry these projects forward?
Yeah, there's still financial resources for a little time period forward. And so that's where you're seeing a lot of these projects, honestly, being ramped up a little bit to still qualify for those credits. What we're also seeing is that even without the credits, renewable energy is still one of the most cost-effective forms of energy production. And so while it may pause things temporarily, that is still a very bright future for investment.
Yeah, it's something we've discussed on our climate check segment plenty of times that, yeah, things are just going in a different direction. The emphasis is coming maybe from state governments or from other sources. And so despite having a president who is very much an oil and coal fan, you're saying that the work is still going to go on and that there are ways for people to learn more about the potential for future projects.
Yep, the work is still moving forward in regards to renewable wind and solar. You know, us as an organization, we're not here to say that renewable wind and solar is the end-all be-all. We believe that we are a part of the energy pie. And so we're just making sure that we advocate for a farmer's right to be able to be a part of that pie and that they have the opportunity to be able to put renewable wind and solar on their land, if that's what's right for them, their family, and their farm.
Steve Bowe from Farm to Power. That's at farmtopower.org. Steve, it was great to catch up with you. Thank you very much.
Yes, it was great to chat with you too, Pat.
All right, take care. All right, coming up in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll be talking to Cam Stevenson, live from Washington, D.C. for Courier Newsroom, and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
during Medicare's open enrollment. It's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin's Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
With locations in Appleton and Oshkosh, Insight Eye Care has been serving the Fox Valley since 1972, offering comprehensive eye care services. Their doctors also share a special interest in treating chronic dry eye disease, providing specialty contact lenses, and expert pediatric eye care. Find Insight Eye Care on North Sawyer Street in Oshkosh and Chain Drive in Appleton. Improving lives by improving sight with quality eye care for everyone in your family. Insight Eye Care. Visit wiinsight.com to schedule your eye exam today.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's Brad Anthony with the Civic Media Network. We're here back again talking with Dr. Ryan Ames of Insight Eye Care. Welcome back.
All right, thank you.
Absolutely. How do you do an eye exam on an infant or a toddler?
Yeah, so one thing that I found unique about our office is that we will see infants and toddlers. We have people call the office looking for someone who will see their two-year-old, and they have said, oh, I've called a few places. No one will see anyone under five or six.
Oh, really?
And it's funny because I didn't know that was a choice.
I didn't either.
Right. I just thought you had to see the kid, see the patient that shows up. And so we've done pediatric eye care forever. My dad's bragging rights is that he fit a six-month-old with contact lenses once.
Wow.
So he's beaten me because my youngest is two. And so he holds that against me that he beat me.
Your time will come.
Yeah, I'll find one. I'll find one someday. But we see kids from all ages, and parents will come in and say, when should I bring my kid in? You know, they're not talking. They don't know their alphabet. How can you do an eye exam? Well, everyone's seen babies or patients with special needs wearing glasses. And obviously, we didn't ask them, which is better, one or two, and have them read an eye chart.
Yes.
We can get your prescription within a click or two without you saying anything. As
wow.
long as I can get you to stare out at distance for a few seconds, I can actually come up with a prescription that's pretty dang close within a click or two. The whole one or two thing is just to fine tune it.
Right.
So when you see a young kid with them, those glasses are pretty darn accurate. And so we have kids come in and we can do essentially a full comprehensive eye exam on them, you know, and just by having them sit in mom's lap. and just look at them and shine lights and do some games and have them look at targets and we can figure out glasses prescription if they need it and also just make sure their eye health is good. We're part of a program called the Infant C program, and it's a national program actually spearheaded by a Wisconsin optometrist. It's nationwide now, and optometrists from around the country sign up to do Infant C exams, and kids from 6 months to a year can come in and have a completely free eye exam. Nobody's charged anything. There's no government funding. The doctor's doing it out of the kindness of their heart to identify kids with things like lazy eye, amblyopia. If we catch it early, we can oftentimes fix it. And if we don't catch it till they enter school, now the brain's a lot more stubborn as it gets older.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And if the eye doesn't learn how to see early on, it's a really tough thing to fix. And our goal is to have two good eyes because having a spare eye is handy. If you have one eye that cannot see well, God forbid something happened to your good eye. Now we're really hosed. All right. So I'd rather get two eyes working. So we got both. It's nice to have.
I've had eye issues since third grade, and, you know, they tried the whole eye patch thing and all that to try to fix everything, and it didn't work for me. It just did not work for me. It was supposed to trick my brain into making the eyes work together, and just...
Your brain also has to work, though, Brad.
It does, and most of the time it doesn't, but you know what I'm saying? But speaking of kids, I mean, sometimes kids get vision screenings at school or at the pediatrician. Is that enough, or... Should they be seeing an eye doctor at some point?
They really should be seeing an eye doctor. We have a love-hate relationship with school screenings because people who aren't eye doctors are not eye experts. And they
just put on a lab coat and there you go.
Right, and they put a poster on the wall and have the kid read it. And if they don't, even taking visual acuity, meaning having them read the eye chart, you have to make sure they're fully covering an eye. I've seen it 100 times where that kid just kind of moved the patch or moved the occluder over.
Oh, sure.
And they're using their good eye.
Yeah.
They read the chart, so you think they saw great, and they didn't with the eye that you were trying to test. So making sure that's accurate. We see kids come in. It's like a 50-50. Half the kids that come in from a school screening flagged didn't need glasses at all. And it's like, well, that was kind of silly. It got mom all worked up. And if she would have just come in for the eye exam, we would have been able to identify that earlier, make sure that things were healthy. Or the kid comes in and it's been missed for so long because they thought the school screening was good enough.
Yeah.
And kids can be farsighted and read the chart on the wall perfectly fine. They never test their reading.
Oh, wow.
They never do the up close. So why does Billy not sit in his chair and read his book? Well, because it's fuzzy and it hurts. Well, he can't communicate that, so he goes and looks out the window.
Right.
You got to check their near vision, make sure that they have focusing ability, make sure their eyes are working together. So you need an eye doctor to do that.
Absolutely. We see a lot of advertisements on TV for dry eyes and eye drops, and I personally remember Ben Stein's commercial. Are dry eyes really that common?
It is crazy common. Patients come in with dry, gritty, burny eyes, watery eyes. Patients always look at me like I'm crazy because they'll say, hey, my eyes are watery. And I go, oh, you have dry eye. And it sounds backwards, but watery eyes is almost always dry eye. It's
really?
Yes, the ocular
circuit. Because I actually have that problem.
Yeah, so if you're tearing a lot or you go outside and, man, it's windy, my eyes water like crazy, you have dryness. So the dryness causes the cornea to be irritated, and then the eye overreacts and produces tons of extra tears. So it's an overreaction to the issue. The dryness is a major problem for patients. Not only is it irritating, but it can cause vision fluctuations. People will say, oh, I'm reading after 10 minutes, my book gets fuzzy, I got to blink a bunch, and then it's better. That is, again, a tear film problem. If your tear film isn't smooth and even, your vision fluctuates. It's not always as simple as, oh, take these artificial tears, put some drops in. Very oftentimes doing in-office treatments for patients called intense pulse light and radio frequency can make a huge difference for patients' lives.
Sure.
Just today I had a patient who we did this series of treatments in office, so a non-drop-based therapy. And her initial complaint was every morning her eyes were gritty, goopy, irritated. She would try to put drops in and it would help a little bit, but it was a chronic problem. We did these in-office treatments, and now she came in and she's like, oh my gosh, every morning I wake up, my eyes don't feel crummy. They feel fresh all the time.
Wow.
And she's thrilled because she was putting drops in 5 times a day.
Wow.
And still having issues. So it's a bigger problem than people think. And dry eye impacts patients' lives chronically because their eyes always bug them. Their vision is fluctuating. It's very irritating.
Absolutely. Give us your contact information before we have to get going here.
So you can read all about that stuff and the things we offer at wiinsight.com. So wisconsininsight.com. You can give us a call and we're happy to sit down and meet with you and tell you about all the things that we can do for you.
Great. Dr. Ryan Ames of Insight Eye Care, Appleton and Oshkosh locations. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
Back to the Pat Kreitlow Morning Show here on the Civic Media Network.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More than 3 weeks into the government shutdown, Republican senators head to the White House today for a group lunch with President Trump. Their meeting coming as the effects of the shutdown continue being felt.
Officials are warning time is running out for critical programs. SNAP, often called food assistance, which serves more than 40 million Americans, is set to dry up in most states by the end of this month.
ABC's Jay O'Brien, another deadline, November 1st. Open enrollment for those on Obamacare begins without government subsidies to help pay the premiums. Democrats are insisting on that for a reopening of the government. An appeals court has overturned a temporary restraining order, meaning the Trump administration can send National Guard troops to Portland. However, a second ruling prohibits that from happening. Vice President J.D. Vance has arrived in Israel trying to shore up the fragile Gaza ceasefire. Japan's parliament has elected the country's first woman prime minister, ultra-conservative Sanae Takaichi.